If I had a kingdom, my kingdom would be just as good as the one as they have in ROH. With Adam Cole and Maria, she could be like, she's the first lady of Ring of Honor, so that's kind of familiar. And then they got Matt Taven, and they got, who's that other guy? Michael Bennett, yeah! And they could all protect the Macho King Randy Savage. What do you think about that? Wait a second. You're not that Walder guy. Who are you?
Macho, I'm Josh Lopez. You don't remember me?
No, he doesn't. He has a short-term memory, Josh. It is I, James Borbath. Chris Walder, where's Walder? Last we heard, he's on a bus to our nation's capital of Canada, Ottawa, to do Lord knows what. I'm sure he'll fill us in next week on his adventures to our nation's capital. So pinch hitting with very little pre-information. Josh Lopez stepping up to the plate. Thanks a lot, Josh.
No problem, man. I'm always ready to rock. I love talking wrestling, and it's been a while since I've been on the podcast, so it's going to be a fun show. We got Michael Bennett on the show today, and I'm looking forward to the interview.
Well, okay. Just steal my thunder. It is my show, Josh. Anyway, he is correct, though. We do have Michael Bennett from the Kingdom on the show. Michael has been on with us before, and he's back with us again. We have a great chat with Michael coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, Josh, if you're not familiar, he does all our Raw previews on the Condo on the Moon.com. If you found this podcast and haven't found the website, check out the website. We do some nice writing on there, too. Josh does the previews for Raw. I chime in with various thoughts. Lately, just mooning over Kevin Steen because things are going so well for him in NXT. That's actually one of the things we end up talking about with Michael Bennett, how things have gone for Kevin in NXT and a number of other topics as ROH gets ready for their big pay-per-view coming up March 1st. We will also talk about the WWE free-per-view. Is that what it is, Josh? No one has to pay for this, I don't think.
No, not at all. I mean, it's free, and you can also watch it on demand if you want to watch the Oscars instead of Sunday.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, WWE, that fast lane, we'll examine that. Everyone's favorite former WWE employee, CM Punk, is in the news. We'll talk about that as well. And, of course, nothing to do with our guest, Michael Bennett, by the way. Because Michael Bennett does use his one of his finishers, although he calls it Go Back to Japan. We don't get into that this time with Michael, but we do get into a whole bunch of stuff with Michael. We talk about his wedding, which happened since the last time he's been here, now married to the lovely Maria Kanellis Bennett. And we talk about all the stuff that has gone on with him since the last time he's been around with us, and then we talk and look ahead to March the 1st and the pay-per-view coming up for ROH, and we even get in some Patriots talk, because I don't know if you know this, Josh, but Michael Bennett, huge Patriots fan, and even huger Tom Brady fan.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
Well, he is from the Boston area. I mean, so it's
that is a good that's a good heel team to root for. So I'll give him that.
He does play a heel on television. Although he's a pretty nice guy in person, as you will hear in our interview. So with that said, the next voices you will hear are my own and that of Michael Bennett from Ring of Honor. Another week, and we have another great guest from Ring of Honor. We are happy to welcome him back to the show. We are extremely happy, given that it is Tom Brady week on the NFL Network, and we have Michael Bennett here, and he's not watching Tom Brady week. He's actually talking with us, so thank you, Michael.
You have no clue if I'm watching Tom Brady week. I could be sitting in my house, oogling over the man as we speak, but I'm happy to be here. I am missing Tom Brady week. I saw this morning that it was Tom Brady week, and my heart fluttered.
I know. We talked last time about your love for both Tom Brady and Edge, but the last time you had to go with your heart and wrestling and picked Edge over Tom Brady, so that was very shocking, actually.
It was tough. Yeah, you know, it might have changed ever since the Super Bowl win. It's funny. A funny story about that is literally I was watching it at my parents' house because I've watched every Super Bowl with my dad, so we've kept the tradition going. And Maria has never seen me in full Super Bowl mode. And it got pretty gloomy there near the end. But literally when the interception happened, Maria started laughing hysterically because my reaction was identical to what Tom Brady was doing on the sideline. I was jumping up and down, kicking my feet in the air. So it was pretty funny.
I still can't believe they didn't run the ball, mind you.
Who doesn't run the ball? I mean, I'm not going to question. I get questioned enough as a professional wrestler, and it drives me nuts. But who am I to question Pete Carroll? But come on, it's Marshawn Lynch. You have one of the best running quarterbacks in football. If you're going to throw, you do a run-throw option.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a football podcast here, but my God, that was pretty simple. Also, a pretty simple decision for you was to marry the lovely Maria. Last time we talked, you had not tied the knot officially yet. Since then, there was a bachelor party that was broadcast by ROH. There was a wedding. All of this has taken place. So how is married life treating Michael Bennett?
It's fantastic. You know, we joked about it before we got on the air, and I told you I feel the same. I do. I feel absolutely identical to how I feel, which I think is a good thing, because you hear a lot of horror stories, but I literally feel like I did when I was dating her. I just have a ring on my finger, and I think that's a good thing because I feel like we transitioned into married life kind of seamlessly and flawlessly. So, like, it literally, the wedding day, the wedding night, the bachelor party show, it was like, I can't explain it. I never was the type to, like, be like, oh, I always want to get married, but after everything happened and having everyone from Ring of Honor there and all my friends and my family and having all my friends and family at that bachelor party show, yeah, I can't believe I never wanted to get married. Not that I'm saying that's what every marriage is going to be like.
How did that whole idea or concept come up from ROH with the Bachelor Party show? Because at the time, we had Adam Cole on, who was the unofficial or official host of that thing.
Yeah.
And we had a great time talking with Adam in the lead-up to it. And I absolutely checked it out. And it was a fun show. And what were your thoughts on it who approached you with it, and what were your thoughts on it when you got approached with it?
Well, it's kind of, I'll let you in on a little secret. It was a lot of politicking by me and Maria because we wanted everyone in Ring of Honor to be at our wedding. And everyone knows not everyone in Ring of Honor is from the Chicago area. Hell, I'm not even from the Chicago area. So getting everyone to fly in is a giant expense. So we went to Ring of Honor, and, well, I'll give Maria all the credit. She went to Ring of Honor, and she told them that, hey, we haven't, around this time, I see that we're probably going to be in Chicago again. What if we plan these shows around the wedding? And you know what? To Ring of Honor, to everyone in the front office, Sinclair offices, they worked with us, and they agreed, and they planned these shows around our wedding. And it just so happened that, you know, we could do the show Thursday, have the wedding Friday, and do another show Saturday. So I have to give all the credit to Maria and to the heads over at Ring of Honor because they worked it out perfectly.
Yeah, and it was a fun time. I mean, Adam was really excited about that show when we had him on, and it turned out
he was fantastic. He was awesome.
It turned out to be quite the event that went down there, and it was just it was everything that Adam said it would be and more, and it was a great time. And of course, was part of the deal that Maria has to wrestle now? Because Maria's wrestling on this anniversary show against ODB. How the heck did this end up happening?
Well, it wasn't Maria's idea. But, you know, it was approached and it was brought to her. And I can tell you this, that I know she's excited about it because there has been a lack of female wrestling in Ring of Honor for a long time. So who better to bring it back than ODB and Maria? You know, it just kind of fell into place with the whole thing we were doing, the Kingdom versus the Briscoes, and Maria was constantly getting the upper hand, And, I mean, who's going to go after Maria, Jay or Mark? That's not going to happen. It's just, it's not PC. So they brought in clearly another member of the Briscoe family that no one knew about. But apparently it's old dirty Briscoe. Who knew? But that's just how it kind of came about. And after the way the six-man intergender tag ended, just seemed right. What better way to do it than on pay-per-view? Maria's been doing pay-per-view for the last, what, 7 or 8 years now? So she'll be just fine, I think.
Yeah, and she's on the poster now. She's the biggest one on the poster. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. But let's take a couple steps back from there, because before the wedding, before all of this, your feud with the Briscoes, there used to be the Iconic title with Matt Hardy's face on it. And then I was privileged to be there in Toronto to see the first displaying of the title of love. My God, that thing is just so unbelievably hilarious with the pink fluffiness and the whole deal. This has to be yours or Marie's brainchild, I assume.
You know, it was a mix. I have to give a lot of credit to Delirious because he was a lot of the brainchild behind it. What we ended up doing with it after we received the title of love was me and Maria's brainchild. And I think, honestly, my favorite part of the title of love so far has been bringing it to Japan and carrying around with it on the tour when we did the World Tag League, because people were just in awe of it. And I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but I was carrying around this pink fuzzy belt while I'm on this bus with all these tough wrestlers, and here I am with this pink fuzzy butterfly belt, and people are like, what the hell is he doing? But the fans seem to enjoy it, and I don't know, maybe it was just to pop myself, and probably because I was like, I'm taking this belt on tour with us, and it just made me laugh the whole time I took it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is exactly that. It's just the exact opposite of what a wrestling championship belt you would assume would be. I mean, that thing is like more pink than the Divas title in the WWE.
Oh, it's awful. It's disgusting, and I love every second of it because people just don't expect it. People don't know. Literally, when I would take it out and I bring it to indie shows all the time, people are like, "What?" Usually little kids, they're like, that looks like the Divas title. And I'm like, no, that's the title of love. If you're in love, you would understand. And then their parents give me mean looks.
That's tremendous. You mentioned about Japan. Obviously, that's another thing that's happened since the last time we talked to you. Not once, but twice you've been over to Japan. You went over once with Adam Cole, and then back again with new member of the Kingdom now, Matt Taven, who kind of replaced Matt Hardy. So what were those experiences like going over to Japan? I know it's a big deal for you.
Yeah, no, it was easily one of the highlights of my career, because it was a place that not only did I think I would never go, but I was told numerous times, handfuls upon handfuls of times, I would never go because they would never want a wrestler like me, not only by other wrestlers, but by fans in particular. So it was definitely a crowning achievement moment for me to be like, to take a step back and go, wow, you just wrestled Liger in front of 30,000 people at the Saibu Dome in Japan. Like, no one can ever say anything to you ever again. It was really one of those moments. And then to be called back and actually do a tour where you're on the bus and you're going town to town with all the guys from New Japan, all the top guys are on the bus with you. You're on the bus with Nakamura and Tanahashi and, you know, and Okada. It's unbelievable. And then not only are you on the bus, but you share a ring with them night in and night out. It's, you can't explain it. And, it was really cool because it was, I mean, I've known Taven for a long time, but me and him had just recently formed as a team, so it was really trial by fire, where they just throw us in there and be like, well, you're a tag team now, and you're on one of the biggest tag team stages of professional wrestling. What are you going to do? And we just got so much better being able to wrestle night in and night out.
One of the things about that, though, it was a great experience going to Japan, but you also had to miss out on Final Battle. How was that for you, like, in the just kind of the yin and the yang of it? Because, obviously, Final Battle, that's the biggest event for ROH's calendar year, and you and Matt were obviously off in New Japan, which is great for you, but at the same time, you know, it didn't work out so well for Adam, the fact that you were in Japan. I'll just say that.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's give and take. You weigh the pros and cons, and this isn't a knockoff final battle at all because it was a really tough decision for us to make. Being at, you know, and it, we had to sit down, me, Maria, Taven, we had to talk with Delirious, we had to talk to Cole, we had to make sure that this was worth it, and when push came to shove, it was, yeah, this is what needs to be done, not only for the Kingdom, not only for ourselves, but for Ring of Honor as a whole. And, you know, it's not one of those decisions that's made lightly, because like you said, Final Battle is our WrestleMania. It's, we build the whole year up until Final Battle. So not only that, but now it was a pay-per-view in New York City, and it really doesn't get much bigger than that for Ring of Honor. So it was a tough decision, but once we weighed everything out and everyone talked, it's just like, no, this is what we need to do for the benefit of everyone around us and in the Kingdom.
And the relationship that the company has with New Japan obviously is a huge part of that as well, because the card that we're gonna end up talking about, we already talked about Maria's match, but a lot of the Bullet Club from New Japan is going to be part of this card, including in your match. You're going to have Doc Gallows and the Bullet Club guys and the Addiction going against you and Matt Taven in the three-way tag match. So, you know, not to mention AJ Styles on this card, the Young Bucks. I mean, that whole relationship continues to grow, and it looks like you guys are going to do the Super Card once again coming up in May, like last year, so that's probably a big part of it too, right?
Yeah, no, it's huge. I know that the relationship between New Japan and Ring of Honor is extremely strong right now, and I know it's one that they hold very dearly for themselves because of not only the popularity in New Japan, but the history and the legacy, and it's a great way for, you know, cross-promotional work and for the New Japan guys to be introduced to a lot of people in the States who may not know, or, you know, I mean, most diehard fans know who Tanahashi is, or Nakamura, Okada, or Liger, or stuff like that, but your average everyday wrestling fan that just turns on Ring of Honor, you know, may not know who those guys are, and it's a great way to expand their horizon, and it's a great way for their guys to come over here, and for our guys to go over there, and it's just a great team for both companies to work together right now.
Yeah, we should fit this little bit of news in. You mentioned him a couple times. Jushin Thunder Liger, he's going to be part of the big show that you guys do around WrestleMania weekend, and that was just announced. So he will be part of that. So that's good news for fans to see him there, especially, you know, with kind of like the wrestling Super Bowl weekend that the shows that all surround WrestleMania have become. So that'll be a big draw for Ring of Honor, I'm sure, having him as part of that card.
Yeah, no, I think it's really exciting. I've gotten the opportunity now to share the ring with him three different times, and it's always a treat, and the fans are always treated to it, and it's always awesome when he can come to the United States and share his incredible talents.
Yeah, he's just a legend when it comes to Japanese wrestling. Even if you're not a fan of Japanese wrestling, everyone has heard of him.
If you're a fan of wrestling, then you're a fan of Liger. It's just, there's no way you're not. You have to be.
Yeah, he's just... I remember Adam talking, too, about Adam got to have the match with him last May for the ROH title, and he mentioned what a thrill it was watching him as a kid and being able to share a ring with him. He's had longevity in this wrestling business, which not everyone gets.
No, and, you know, for a guy who kind of paved the way for the cruiserweights and for the style he wrestles, he still goes like it's 1985. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's great to see this relationship between New Japan and ROH, and to be honest, I wasn't a huge Japanese wrestling fan and all that, and it's kind of gotten me into it a little bit, and it's drawn me into what's going on, along with the Bullet Club and the Young Bucks and all that. It's really, this has been a good marriage, I think, for ROH and for New Japan.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good marriage for wrestling in general, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's an interesting time in wrestling, because it's kind of, WWE's out there, they're the big, huge number one, but I think it's wide open for everyone else to get the attention of, you know, not just fans of WWE, but the fans that get ticked off with WWE, to be that alternative, it's wide open, and it's out there for everyone to take a run at, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been wrestling since 2001, and this is by far, in the past year and a half, almost 2 years, this is the best I've ever seen independent wrestling. And I'm not talking about Ring of Honor or TNA or anything that some fans consider indie. I'm talking about actual hardcore independent wrestling. You know, the PWGs and the Beyond Wrestlings on this on the East Coast. This is the best I've ever seen independent wrestling. I mean, I would go to shows and there would be, you know, 10, 15 people there. I can't remember the last time I did an indie show that was under 150, 200 people, for independents. You ask any independent wrestler, that's fantastic. So wrestling is definitely thriving. Whether indie wrestlers are making a living, that's a definite no, because that's just how wrestling is right now. But wrestling as an entity is definitely on an upswing, I believe.
Yeah, and it's just become a real interesting time when you look at the last time you were on. We were talking about Kevin was leaving from ROH to go to, as now everyone knows, going to NXT, and to see a guy like Kevin have the tremendous success he's had at NXT just proves how much talent I think is out there if
right.
It gets the opportunity in that system, because you had said I don't know if you remember this, but the last time you were on with us, you had said if Kevin doesn't have success in the WWE, it won't be his fault because he's a guy who could make millions of dollars, and that's has stuck in my head with how great things have gone for Kevin since he started up at NXT.
Yeah, no, I absolutely remember that because I've said it to numerous people, and I firmly and 100% stand behind what I said. And watching him the other night, I told Maria, I couldn't wipe the smile off my face, because the one thing that popped into my head was when I started with Ring of Honor almost 5 years ago, the very first pay-per-view I did was Kevin Steen versus El Generico, and they absolutely, I think it was a fight without honor. I'm sure people are going to kill me if I got that match wrong, but the match was awesome. But I also remember it because it was the day that Kevin Steen was sent home from Ring of Honor for 6 months because he didn't have what they were looking for, wasn't part of the future plans. So to see him go from that and then just transform into what he's become, which is he's a star. I don't care what anyone says, he was a star the minute he stepped foot into NXT. And Triple H saw that clearly, because it took him, 2 months from debuting on TV to win the title? That's unheard of. And so I firmly stand behind that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing how things have gone for him. And when you look, you mentioned like 5 years ago. 5 years ago, probably Kevin Steen doesn't get a look from the WWE. And for that matter, probably El Generico doesn't either. And look at where they are right now.
5 years ago, those guys would have got laughed out of the development system, and not because of their talents, but because of just how the mindset was. And I think wrestling has changed. No, I think WWE has changed for the better. Triple H clearly, and listen to me, what the hell do I know, but Triple H clearly knows what the hell he's doing. He sees talent for what it's worth, which isn't just big muscles and height. He sees it for what fans can invest it into, and he's got that. He's got that with Generico. He's got that with Kevin Steen. You know, he's got that with Fergal Devitt. I mean, God, the signings he's made have been, you know, every indie fan's dream. But it's not. They can actually go. They are legitimate stars, and I'm sure people who don't know who they are will know who they are fairly soon.
Yeah, and. You talk about what's going on with NXT, but also with ROH, the card that you guys have put together for this Ring of Honor show coming up, the 13th anniversary. I mean, it's a fantastic card as well, with all the talent you have on there. And mentioned a couple times, the Bullet Club has just kind of caught on with fans in like a almost a mainstream way, where, you know, for starters, it was just a T-shirt, and now it's like all these guys are starting to get known, and everyone knew the Young Bucks, I think, but it's kind of expanded now where that Bullet Club has really made an impact, and the fact that they're going to be a big part of this card obviously is a big deal for this pay-per-view as a whole, I think.
Yeah, no, the Bullet Club is kind of like, it's like the modern-day NWO. They're cool, they're hip, they're bad, and people just seem to are latching onto it. And I think the coolest part about it is it's starting to become really popular, and it has nothing to do with the WWE brand. It has totally to do with Carl Anderson and Doc and AJ and the Young Bucks. It has nothing to do with anything but themselves being incredible talent and working for an incredible company in New Japan.
Yeah, and these are going to be two incredible tag team matches on this card. The one you are a part of, I guess we'll start with that one. You have yourself and Matt Taven. As you said, you guys have always known each other, but now have been working for a while now as a tag team as part of the Kingdom with Maria, going up against The Addiction, who was a long-standing tag team with TNA, now has come over to ROH. And then you got Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, who have just been tearing it up in New Japan. This sounds like it's going to be an awesome match. I mean, whoever wins, obviously you have a stake in who wins, but I think the fans win just by this match happening.
Yeah, this match is going to be so much fun because I've had the privilege of being in the ring with everybody there. Me and Cole got to wrestle The Addiction in Milwaukee, and we had one of my favorite matches, and then me and Taven got to wrestle Carl and Doc over when we did the World Tag League, and it was one of my favorite matches over there. So you throw that all in the mix, you call it a pay-per-view, you're in for, I think it's going to be one of the best matches of the night, if not the best match of the night.
Well, if it's not the best tag team match of the night, there will be those guys, the Young Bucks and Red Dragon, going at it as well. And I wonder, you know, with you and Matt Taven being together for this extended period of time, how long is it before we hear your names going for those ROH titles? Because it seems like that would be a natural direction for this to go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I say we'll be the best match on the night, and then you say the Young Bucks, and my heart immediately sinks because I know just how friggin' good those guys are. So if it's not us, it's definitely going to be them. It'll probably be them because those guys are just absolutely ridiculous. So is it Red Dragon. You know, I hope it's soon. Me and Taven have proven ourselves. The Kingdom is definitely the top, besides Red Dragon, I think we have to be considered the top tag team in Ring of Honor. So I think it's got to be soon. It's got to be sooner rather than later.
And, you know, we mentioned the Kingdom and how this has all gone. I really have to commend you guys with how you made that transition from Matt Hardy being a part of that group to Matt Taven. And when we had Adam on just before your bachelor party, it was just at the time Matt Taven had joined up with the Kingdom. And I said to Adam, I said, I was so happy for Matt because I thought this is the absolute perfect fit for him. He's with you, who's a great friend of his, Maria. He was in your wedding, for God's sakes. And then Adam as well. I mean, this just seemed like a great fit for him. And Adam agreed. And I think it's been smooth sailing ever since, once you guys have all got together. It really seems like you guys are having a lot of fun.
Well, not only was he in my wedding, he officiated my wedding. Me and Taven have been friends for a long time. But I think it works so well. Here's a little insider knowledge for all the crazy wrestling fans out there. I'll let them in on a little secret. Me, Taven, Adam Cole, and Maria, we're all really, really, really good friends outside of wrestling. We do everything together on the road. We travel together. You know, we eat together. We spend more time together than any, you know, non-married people should, besides me and Maria. So when you have that kind of friendship and then you transition it to TV and to a show and to a character, it works. I mean, look at The Click, look at DX. That's why that worked. That's why we work. We're it's real. It's it's reality coming out, and we're just doing this in front of a larger stage.
Yeah, and I mentioned Adam. Adam obviously spent time out there in PWG, and he had that group with the box and with Kevin Steen, and I said, boy, this is like the same kind of thing with different people for you in ROH. It has to be great. And he mentioned kind of some of the same things you're saying about the legitimate friendship between everybody and just everyone having everyone's best interest at heart. And because I was worried with Adam throwing this bachelor party, I thought he could have destroyed the kingdom with that bachelor party, but he assured me it would stick together. He was right. It's been smooth sailing ever since.
You know, it's kind of funny, just to go back to what we were talking about, where, you know, me and Taven, I had been wrestling for a good amount of time before I met Taven, and he started going to the same school that I was helping train at with Spike Dudley. So I had a hand in training and helping Taven train, so that's how me and him became so close. But as far as me and Adam go, me and him actually, I don't know if a lot of people, and I don't know if I've told this story before, but we got each other signed by Ring of Honor. We both started doing dark matches at the same time. The two dark matches we did consecutively in Philadelphia got us signed. And then we just kind of have rode a similar path together with our contracts, because when our contracts both came up, we both were invited to do tryouts together. We both did the tryouts together. We actually ended up having a match together at the tryout. And then we both re-signed with Ring of Honor and been stuck with Ring of Honor. And then we both got to go to Japan together. So it's really just been this cool kind of path that the two of us have taken in our wrestling career. I mean, he's like 4 or 5 years younger than me, so I hate him. But it's really cool that we've gotten to do that together.
I think we all love and hate Adam Cole all at the same time, because he's so talented. He's such a, like you, he is such a nice guy outside of the ring and everything else. I mean, you know.
I think that's why I hate him. He challenges me for who's the nicest in the locker room. Can't be having that.
Yeah, he's just a tremendous guy, and we think the world of him here on Kondo on the Move podcast. We love having Adam on. What is the deal, though, with Adam right now on television? He is not that nice guy. He's not even speaking, and this is a man who, my God, if there is someone who can cut a promo in Ring of Honor, Adam Cole is the man, yet he is dead silent. He's talking to you, I suppose.
Of course. The kingdom always talks. I'll tell you what, though. As nice as Adam is, he's also very smart, and he's just picking his spot. You know, a smart man never gives away his big plan. You know, Bill Belichick doesn't give away his game plan before the Super Bowl. So Adam Cole is not going to give away what he's thinking. He'll tell us. He tells me. He tells Maria. He tells Taven. But that's what you do with best friends. But you don't tell the world. I know what Adam's thinking. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm questioning. But most of the time, I'm pretty sure I know what he's thinking. And he's just being very meticulous right now.
But he's getting healthy, though. That's the main thing, because obviously when you guys were in Japan, he had his match with Jay Briscoe, which was fantastic, and unfortunately got injured in that match. Health-wise, Adam's on the road to recovery and doing all right.
He's well on his way. He's working his ass off. He's killing it in the gym. He's doing everything he can, but he's also being smart and not pushing himself too hard. He'll come back. When he comes back, he'll be... I guarantee you better than ever, because now he's coming back with a vengeance. And I got to tell you, sitting on the sidelines, it can either make or it can break you. And this is going to make him.
Yeah, you hear that a lot of times in pro sports. Me being from Canada and close to Toronto, the Toronto Raptors all-star from last year, DeMar DeRozan, he had an injury, sat out for, I think it was about, month and a half or so, and when he came back, he mentioned how many things that he learned just by being able to just sit back and observe things. And I imagine the same is true with wrestling. When you get a break, and Adam, let's face it, Adam was having a career year before this injury, and probably was not getting a lot of rest, not taking a lot of time, and he was forced into having some time, and we look forward to whenever he comes back, and I just would like to hear him speak. I mean, I miss hearing his lovely voice.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be worse when you're on a roll like he was. And like you said, he's having a career year. I think that makes it a hell of a lot more difficult than when you're just kind of rolling through the motions, because you almost feel like something was stolen from you. And I know that that's how he feels right now, that something was absolutely stolen from him. So he's just waiting to get it back.
Well, you know what? I am a big fan of the Kingdom. In fact, the last time Adam was on, he probably didn't do this, but I had offered my services to be the court jester of the Kingdom. He promised he would tell you and Matt Taven. I'm sure that didn't happen. But nonetheless, they're out there. If you ever are in need of a court jester, doing a show in Toronto, you know, reach out and touch. I'm more than happy to support the Kingdom in any way I can.
We'll take applications anytime. I think we'll sit. We'll have like a panel like American Idol, and you can come and we'll judge you based on what we think.
That might not be good for me, but I have done wonderful interviews with all three of the male members of the Kingdom. We have not had Marie on here yet, but maybe that would be the clincher. If I get Marie on here and she likes me, maybe all is smooth sailing from there.
If Maria likes you, the Kingdom likes you.
There you go.
That's how it is.
One last thing before we go. You, sir, used to do a podcast. It was called Mike and Maria in Wonderland. I used to love it dearly. It has not been around lately. Is it coming back?
It hasn't, and it's 100% coming back. Actually, believe it or not, me and Maria were just discussing. I think we're trying to bring it back next week. There's another breaking news. We literally were talking about it last night because we stopped doing it around the wedding, and then things just spiraled from there. Spiraled in a good way. But just as far as not being able to get to it, we had the wedding, we had the honeymoon, and as soon as we got back from the honeymoon, we went to Japan, and then when we got back from Japan, it was the holidays, and then as soon as the holidays were over, we moved into a new place in Rhode Island, and ever since then, Maria started back up at school, and we've been trying to get the place in, our new house in order, so it's literally spiraled, but now we are settled, she's at school, we are here, and we're ready to get the ball rolling again.
That's good, because I missed it. I was a big fan of your podcast and one of its big supporters, and I missed it. So I am glad to hear that. I look forward to it being back. And of course, you forgot the 2 weeks where you were partying when the Patriots won. That probably took up some of time, too.
It totally did. I'm still partying from it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all good. Congratulations to your Patriots. Your Celtics acquired a point guard that isn't as good as Rajon Rondo today, but you know,
true.
It all balances out.
But his name is Isaiah Thomas, so it makes me feel like I'm a kid again. So
yeah, or it makes you feel old. It makes me feel old.
It makes me feel old. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it can go either way. Do you know the story behind his name, incidentally?
No, I have no clue.
His father lost a bet and had to name him Isaiah Thomas.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he was a longtime Laker fan. And had a bet with some guy who was a Detroit fan, and hence his son was named Isaiah Thomas. Don't make bets about your children's names. Not a good idea.
No, that's not very classy.
That's our last bit of information for the people out there. Michael, you were generous with your time as you were the last time. We'll have to get you back on sooner this time because we always love talking to you. You're always open and honest, and we love that. And all the best to you and all of the Kingdom. Because I am a big fan.
Thank you. I always enjoy doing this. The last one was a blast, and this one was the same. So thank you for having me on anytime.
Yeah, maybe we can get the married couple the next time. Maybe that's what we'll shoot for.
She's a busy lady. She barely fits time for me. So.
Well, I know. Well, maybe you can trick her one time. You help us out.
I think I'll trick her. Yeah, I'll tell her it's a very important. Hollywood exec she needs to talk to, and then maybe we can swing something.
The funny thing is, we've never met in person, but I've interviewed you twice. I did actually meet Marie in Toronto, and we talked, but you know, we haven't got her on here to do an interview. So
she might be nicer than I am too.
Yeah, she was really nice. Actually, we talked about your podcast. We talked about this the last time you're on, and I put you over on how good you were on the podcast. And told her to tell you, and she did, and, you know, there we go, and it's coming back soon, so that's good to know. And
forward.
March 1st, it all goes down, Las Vegas, Nevada. You guys were there on your honeymoon, you're going back.
Can't wait.
We're looking forward to the whole entire card. It should be fantastic. And thank you for your time. And, you know, best of luck. Not a lot of people will share your love for Tom Brady, but we do love what you do in the ring.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Again, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
This is former Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole, baby, and you're listening to Condo on the Moon podcast.
So there was Michael Bennett joining the program again. Just a great interview. Always very honest, very open, and a lot of fun, too. We teased him very unmercifully about his love for Tom Brady, but he owns up to it. Just like he owns up to that pink title belt that has traveled to Japan, as we just learned, Josh. He is in love with the title of love.
Yeah, great interview, by the way, James. I thought it was really cool. Mike seems like a nice guy. I'm kind of biased. He's kind of a new Chicagoan now since he married Maria. So I have to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt with him being the Patriots supporter, so it's all cool. But I'm looking forward to this match at the 13th anniversary, a big six-man tag team match.
Yeah, well, no, it's the three tag teams. It's a six-man. It's three tag teams, not six-man tag. Six-man tag would be different. That's how Maria ended up in a match, though. There was a six-man tag, and Maria ended up pinning and winning that match, leading to her fighting ODB. I'm not as concerned for my boys, Michael Bennett and Matt Taven, holding their own with Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, as well as the Addiction. I think the boys will be fine. Maria against ODB, I'm very concerned for the lovely Maria Kanellis. She doesn't get in there and wrestle that often. ODB is a very... What's the nice way to say a woman is large, Josh? Do you have a good way to say that?
Round?
No, that wouldn't work. You'd get slapped in the face for that. That's for sure. The pleasantly plump ODB, who stands for Old Dirty Briscoe now... I mean, she must outweigh Maria by, we won't get into the poundage, but obviously there's a weight disadvantage there for Maria.
This interview is coming by so quick, man. We've been doing a bunch of interviews. I talked to Steve Corino, ACH, Michael Elgin, of course your interview last week, Tommaso Ciampa. I'm just looking at the card right now, Jason. This pay-per-view might be the best out of the three traditional pay-per-views we've seen so far.
And when you look at it, a pay-per-view where you were probably really concerned for ROH because Adam Cole's not going to be on it. Because as we learned from Michael Bennett, you know, Adam Cole, he's progressing, he's getting better, he's not talking to anyone other than the Kingdom, but he is rehabbing his injured shoulder, and that's good to hear, and he seems to be on the right path according to Michael with his rehabilitation, and we're happy to hear that because there is no one in Ring of Honor that had a better 2014 than Adam Cole. He was just tremendous.
Yeah, that guy's going to come in. So whenever he does come back, he's going to come back with a blaze of glory. I'm a big Adam Cole fan. Unfortunately, he got the injury, but it kind of didn't make sense with the whole Fight for Honor match with Jay Briscoe. It was one of the most brutal matches I've seen in the last 5 years. So it's unfortunate that Adam Cole is not wrestling, but either way, one of the great things with Ring of Honor is their roster, so it doesn't matter who's missing out of the show, you're always going to get at least a good, solid wrestling show.
Yeah, but Adam really is, he's been, since they've been on live pay-per-view, he's been the headliner in both main events, so it'll be interesting. It's also going to be interesting in this show, ROH, generally speaking, they will go with their world title match last. Although in the past, they have deviated from that. We have Young Bucks Red Dragon on this card. I wonder if that ends up being the main event.
I think they should. Weren't they the last match of the Toronto show?
They were when Michael Elgin lost the title, and I'm sure that was one of the many things Michael Elgin was not happy about with Ring of Honor. But given what was going to happen, I mean, to close the Toronto show with the Toronto hometown guy losing the title, probably not a good idea if you're a wrestling company, so I understood it. Although at the time when I was there live, I did not. I was totally baffled by why the Bucks and Red Dragon were going on last. Not that they don't deserve it, and that match was fantastic. It was 2 out of 3 falls, and we talked about the Young Bucks briefly with Tommaso Ciampa last week. I mentioned the Young Bucks. I could just watch the Young Bucks and Red Dragon go like any day of the week. Put it on my television. I'll watch it.
Do you think this will be the final match with them?
I don't know.
At least for now?
Well, like we talked with Michael. I mean, he's been teaming with Matt Taven. The Addiction's there, sitting, waiting. Like, at some point, the Ring of Honor world titles have to expand beyond Red Dragon and the Young Bucks, you have to think. I know Kyle and Bobby Fish have defended them against other people, but on this marquee show, like we need to see another team step up to the plate. And, I mean, for my money, Red Dragon's kind of become baby faces, I think, in Ring of Honor. Not through their own doing, just through what's happened. I mean, going over, having the success they've had in Japan, fans seem to cheer them now more than they boo them. It makes sense that a heel team should be going against them. So a Kingdom Red Dragon match seems to make a lot of sense to me. Or, you know, if the Young Bucks win, I think, you know, you could still have them go against the heel tag team and it would make sense. So, you know, maybe I'm just rooting for my guys in the Kingdom, but I think they would be the logical next number one contenders.
Obviously, there's going to be some more heat into this match because Red Dragon recently lost the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship, so I'm really looking forward to the match. Anytime you see the Red Dragon and the Young Bucks in the match, I always have this philosophy, if I see a rematch and it's good, I don't care how many times they fight against each other, so it's always good entertainment when you see Red Dragon against the Young Bucks.
You know, it's funny, we complain on Raw about how we get the same matches over and over and over again, but it's just something about those two teams that click so well, I could literally watch it over and over and over again. Now, watching The Big Show and Kane wrestle people, not so much. Maybe that's how we make our transition into WWE talk. No, we actually have some news stuff to get to before we get to the fast lane. So, with that, one of the big stories of the week, the doctor that was famously outed in the CM Punk interview, Dr. Amon, has, in your neck of the woods, in fact, Josh Lopez, he has filed a suit against Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, and Colt Cabana, who we won't say his real name because he'll get mad at us, and he already is mad at me, so I'm not going to get him more mad. But we all know what happened on the podcast. They did not have some nice things to say about the doctor. He has filed a defamation lawsuit in Chicago court. Good luck to him in winning this case. I don't see how he has a hope in hell of winning it. I think it was done more as a way to annoy CM Punk, and I think the WWE might actually have kind of egged him into doing this.
I don't know.
That's all opinion and speculation, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's Dave Punk's my favorite wrestler, and it's kind of hitting at home because it is a Chicago brewing lawsuit here. And,
yeah, we're going to have you on live coverage, Josh. You're going to have to be like the court reporter and report on this.
Live reporter, City Hall.
No, you have to go down to the court, get in there, and you cover the court case.
What's the weather out there, by the way? I don't mean to be off track. What's the weather out there?
The weather?
Yeah, negative 15 today.
Well, no, the court case isn't starting today, Josh. It'll probably...
Okay.
The legal system in your country takes a little while. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it'll take a little while. So it'll probably be like spring or summer. Don't worry. You don't have to go out in the cold. Jeez, Josh Lopez. The biggest trial of the century, CM Punk in court, and he's worried about how cold it's going to be. Josh, I don't know.
Here's my thing. Is he going to get anything out of this? Probably not. But at the same time, I'm not surprised that other people that were mentioned on that podcast didn't go after Punk and Cabana. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I agreed with Punk and Cole didn't really say a lot. Like, he added, like, a little sidebar here and there in the podcast.
No, Colt's just included in the lawsuit because he's the one who conducted the interview. I mean, Cabana...
guilty by association.
Well, no, I mean, you're responsible for what you put out there, right? I mean, we're responsible for this. If we offended anyone and they wanted to sue us for defamation, technically they could. So if Walder was really unhappy with what I said about him at the beginning of the show, technically he could sue me. He wouldn't win, but he could sue me or try to.
There's not much difference from defamation to slander, right?
Yeah, like, in all honesty, you don't have to be a Harvard Law grad. We don't need to call in David Otunga for this one. Defamation and slander and all of that, it's the hardest thing to prove. It's the hardest court case to win because it's not like your typical court case where you have to just prove it. You have to not just prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, but you have to, on top of that, prove, okay, yes, this happened, but now how have you been affected by this? And that's where I think this doctor doesn't have a hope in hell of winning his case because he's still employed by the WWE. He didn't lose his job. Some wrestling fans have been heckling him. Oh, that's terrible. I just don't see where he can win this case. And I think it was just done as a way to annoy CM Punk, whether he did that of his own volition or the WWE kind of said, hey, you know what? If you need some help with your lawyer's fees, we could probably swing that. Maybe I'm being skeptical and cynical of the WWE, but I just see their fine hand kind of... They're the puppet master to all this, I feel. But regardless, I don't think this is a case that CM Punk will lose. I think, as in most legal matters... like this, the winners will be the lawyers.
Upon conclusion of this trial, do you think the WWE fires the doctor?
I don't think it ever goes to trial. I don't think the WWE wants to go to trial. I don't think Punk really wants it to go to trial either. Although, if anyone does want it to go to trial, it might be CM Punk. Because he might relish the opportunity to recount all of the things he said and say them again. So, who knows? But I don't think either side really wants this to get to an actual court case. I mean, we were joking around about you covering the court case in Chicago. I don't think it gets that far. I think one way or the other, this doctor will see the light of day and his lawyers will say, look, you know, we're not going to win this. Or there will be some kind of minimal settlement, and they'll just be done with it. And CM Punk will get it out of his hair. I think one of those two things happens, but I'd be very surprised if this actually got to a trial. And I think that's the one thing the WWE would not want to happen.
I really thought that we were about to be finally like gone away with the podcast, and I wouldn't say all the issues Punk had with WWE, but You notice on shows over the last couple months, they're not doing as much CM Punk chants anymore. There's not a bunch of promotion for Punk like it was before Thanksgiving, James. And it's really unfortunate that this topic is brought up again. Obviously, I thought WWE was in the wrong in the way they were handling him with his health. That's on them. But at the same time, I can understand some guys feel like they had slander against him on the podcast, so it's a double-edged sword. I don't think the doctor's going to win if any of this trial, if it does happen, but it's really unfortunate this topic continues to be brought up.
Yeah, and I mean, WWE's kind of paraded him out there since. Like, we saw him, he was the doctor who got involved in the Sami Zayn-Kevin Steen match. And he actually had a cameo on NXT this week. Interesting that this happens the same week he sues CM Punk.
And a lot of scenarios. I'm just kind of tired of the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. But this is newsworthy. I mean, Punk is is now part of the UFC. I'm sure he wants nothing to do with this. And then poor Colt Cabana. I mean, as you said, I mean, it's not the correct terminology for it, but in a sense, it is kind of. He's guilty by his association or his friendship with CM Punk because he had him on his podcast and Punk said what he said. I mean, you know, so if there's anyone that I feel the most sorry for, it's probably Colt Cabana. But I have a feeling when all is said and done, CM Punk will be picking up his legal tab too. I don't think Colt will have to worry about the lawyers and all of this. But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, if people are out there thinking that this doctor is going to get, like, millions of dollars, not that we're not talking about the primetime players reuniting yet, but if they think he's getting millions of dollars from CM Punk and Colt Cabana, it's not happening. It just isn't. Like, those cases are so hard to prove, and especially when a doctor's involved, because it's so much different with medical people. Like, that's why doctors have to have so much insurance. And with the system down there in America, as opposed to up here in Canada, doctors can be, you know, sued. And they, well, you need insurance up here, too, in Canada as well. So it's like you can get sued for malpractice and all of this. I mean, this doctor should be thanking his lucky stars that CM Punk didn't sue him for malpractice.
True.
I mean, if what Punk said is true, Punk could have had a hell of a case against his doctor for malpractice. He didn't choose to go that route, you know. So I mean, I don't know. It all seems very strange to me. I just don't understand necessarily the timing of all this and why the WWE would want this out there, and who knows, you mentioned about, you know, this doctor lasts with the company, you know, maybe the WWE didn't want this out at all. I mean, this is during the build up to WrestleMania. Do we really want to be still talking about this doctor? Maybe they will be upset with it, maybe they will find a way to get rid of him. I don't know.
So you mentioned earlier that David Otunga wouldn't be a part of the thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. He is from Chicago. So, might as well bring Otunga, everybody into tape.
Trust me, Vince McMahon has much better lawyers than David Otunga. I'm just going to say that flat out. Don't buy the gimmick, Josh. It was a gimmick. It wasn't. He is really a legal lawyer, but don't buy the gimmick about him being such a great lawyer. If he was such a great lawyer, he probably wouldn't have been wrestling. I'll just leave
true.
It at that.
We haven't seen him in a while.
I know, he does the Raw pre-shows now. He's on there
with
Corey
Graves,
yeah. Drinking his coffee again, he's back. David Otunga, but we're not going to waste too much time talking about David Otunga on here. So anyway, that was the big news item of the week as far as things go. NXT keeps marching along very nicely. Kevin Steen is on. Oh, it's Kevin Owens because he's in the WWE now. I always do this. Walter gives me a lot of static for it, but Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, whichever you prefer, he is on quite the role. Josh, are you totally surprised with how well he has been booked in the WWE? I mean, I'm a huge Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens fan. I couldn't have dreamed a scenario as good as what the WWE has given him.
I'm not surprised by how they booked him based off, like, what he's done in the ring or this or that. What I'm surprised by is that he's a champion already. That's what I'm surprised by. I thought Kevin was going to come in here, basically lay out every single guy on the NXT roster, then go after Sami Zayn. But they wanted to go strike when the iron's hot. Kevin's the new champion. I love the storytelling in their match, TakeOver, last week. The match he had last night Wednesday against Adrian Neville was pretty awesome. And the guy just gets better week by week, man, and it's pretty cool. I think it's a little bit too much too soon, but I'm happy with what they've been doing with him so far.
It's never too much too soon for Kevin. Never. I'm giddy for how well it's gone for him, because he's such a great guy. And you know, I think that one of the best things about this is this whole storyline has a real element of truth to it. This whole idea that he's done all this for his family, that's 100% true. That's what Kevin Steen did. That's why he moved his family to Florida. That's why he's had this dream and has wanted to do this for years, to have a better life for his family. I mean, it's something he said long before he was in the WWE, when he was Kevin Steen, that he always wanted to do the best he could for his family and give them a great life. And he's added this real element to his character, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And is he a bona fide heel? Obviously, no, he hasn't really done any heel tactics. I mean, he's just been bulldozing everybody.
Well, he's a heel in the ring. Like, there's no question about that. The way he's wrestling, the style he's wrestling, he's totally a heel. But that said, as he said, nothing he said when he's came in has been untrue. It's all truthful, and it's all been 100% correct from what he said. So, like, it's kind of that it's that nice yin and yang. If you're someone who leans to rooting for the bad guys, this is the type of character that allows you to do that. Because I can say, you know what? Kevin's right. He hasn't lied. He's done everything that he said he was going to do. So it's Sami Zayn's fault for being too dumb not to realize what Kevin was saying. And that's how you can rationalize it as a fan of a heel, which I am 99% of the time. I mean, I love the Kingdom. I love Kevin Steen. I love, you name the bad guy, usually I'm for the bad guy. So
You might as well just move the needle and make it 100.
Yeah, usually.
Don't give me 99%.
I'm trying to think, who is a baby face that I like in wrestling today, right now? The Young Bucks sometimes are baby faces, but not real very often. So they don't count.
Do you like Daniel Bryan?
I used to. I'm not as keen on him lately as I used to be. So we'll get into that with Fastlane, I suppose. But no, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that like is just a total baby face. The one thing I am upset about, though, for Walder not being here, I thought Walder would be extremely excited because the new NXT champions, Blake and Murphy, we have been having fun with those guys on this show. I have been saying these guys came off as just the most white meat baby faces that you ever want to see. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, Josh, now they're heels. How did this happen?
That really caught me off guard. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was like just out of the blue. And Enzo's beard, I have no idea what's going on with that. That is bad. I don't care if you like... there's a baby face guys that I like. Big Kaz and Enzo. They're all right. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not so much with Enzo now with this beard, but Big Kaz I like.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. They had like a short 4-minute match, which I wish went a little bit longer, with Enzo, Kaz, and the Quad Villains. And then out of nowhere, we see these guys all nice, cocky, heelishing it up, wanting to be with Carmella. I don't know what they're doing right now with those guys. It's like, let's see, like, Bull Dempsey going from a heel to a face. I don't know, that really caught me off guard.
Bull Dempsey is still a heel.
Bull Dempsey
is
down the totem pole now.
Bull Dempsey, let's put it this way. Bull Dempsey, heel, face, whatever, he's heading Mojo Rawley land. That's where he's heading. And that's not a fun place. You shouldn't be hyped to go to Mojo Rawley land. It's not a fun place to be in NXT. We also, just to close out the NXT talk, we also saw the debut of Solomon Crow. What did you think of him, Josh? I know NXT fans have been clamoring for this guy.
I love Solomon Crow. I loved his work in the indies, especially when he was here in Chicago for AEW. The guy's really talented. He could talk. He may not be the biggest guy, but I think this whole hacker thing is kind of cool, actually. It's kind of barbaric, bringing in the costume science. I think it's something cool and different, and I'm really happy for him.
There's a guy that wrestles on the independents up here in Canada that's not going to be happy. That's his gimmick, Scotty the Hacker. He's not going to be happy. That's his gimmick. He's the hacker. What happened to him? Oh, well, wrestling, they steal stuff. What can you do? But anyway, I don't know when this happened, and people might be mad at me for this, but I feel bad for CJ Parker now. He just has become the guy that everyone beats up now. It's like, when is someone going to stand up for CJ, or is CJ going to stand up for himself or something? Like, CJ's getting murdered. Kevin murdered him. Now this guy's murdered him. Someone has to come help CJ Parker. And I know a lot of people don't like him on NXT.
The lone representative we have here in Illinois in NXT is getting murdered or jobbed out every week, man.
Is he from Chicago? I did not know that. So there you go.
Yeah, from Joliet.
Wow, you better keep that a secret. Is Joliet like a clean part of town, or does CJ Parker have to go out there and like clean the streets? What's going on there?
No, it's just like a road type of city where there's a bunch of gas stations, and then that's it.
Well, he won't like that. Gas guzzling in his hometown? He should be picketing in his hometown, for gosh sakes. But he left, Josh. He left. He went to Florida. He had enough of your cold weather like we have up here. He wants no part of you Chicagoans anymore.
Damn, man. We tough it out, though.
So do we up here.
Joke.
We don't want to have Canadian versus Chicago cold war stories. That'll just... there won't be a winner. It'll be a draw.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get anywhere with that. But anything else in the world of wrestling that is on your mind? Because normally Walder would be here and he would bring up something. Well, sometimes he would.
I know it's your least favorite company, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Samoa Joe leaving TNA.
Oh, the TNAers! Yes, I wanted to bring that up, so I'm glad you mentioned it. Samoa Joe is a free agent, and there's all kinds of weird rumors going on, including one that says the WWE is interested in him.
It's about a matter of time, man. I always thought Samoa Joe has been perfect for WWE. I enjoyed their work that he did in TNA in the early days, not what he's been doing recently. It's just the personification of what TNA is. They put you in an important storyline, and then they can't keep you longer because your contract expires and they can't afford to pay you anymore. Just like AJ Styles when he was the world champion for 2 months. Right. Now we got Samoa Joe in the top heel faction in the company.
Yeah, but it's odd that this rumor's out there about WWE. I don't put a lot of stock in it. I mean, Joe was tremendous up until the point Kurt Angle came to TNA. And they had that first big match. And to me, Samoa Joe's never been the same since. And TNA made a huge mistake by having Joe lose. And if the WWE is not interested in AJ Styles, I don't know why on earth they would be interested in Samoa Joe. And that's no offense to Samoa Joe. I just think AJ Styles is more talented, has more life left in him, has more motivation, has a lot more things. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Joe. Because, I mean, hey, we've seen it with AJ Styles. We've seen it with a lot of these guys. There's lots of work out there if he wants it, but is he motivated, and can he be the Samoa Joe that everyone remembers from Ring of Honor? And that Samoa Joe, that guy that went like an hour with CM Punk 3 times, I don't know if he's still in Samoa Joe anymore.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about earlier about ROH and how they're handling the whole pay-per-view without Adam Cole. upon maybe Adam Cole leaving the company by next year, bringing back Joe would definitely lighten up the mood for a lot of Ring of Honor fans. So yep. I think a return there would be pretty cool. But you said it right there. It opens the land of opportunity, maybe New Japan. I don't know about Lucha Underground. I would think he's a fit there. But, man, that guy could sure make a lot of money right now if he didn't just want to be in one company.
But here's the thing. It's like, you know, buyer beware, I think, with him, because I'm just concerned about the motivation and you know, like, what am I getting? I'm not getting the Samoa Joe that everyone loves from Ring of Honor. I'm getting something different, and I don't know what that is. And I'd be a little leery, like, with him. I'll tell you one guy, and he's a great guy, he's a nice guy, I don't have anything against him, but when Chris Hero left WWE Developmental, big splash, came into ROH, he came into Final Battle, he kind of had that little run-in at the end of Final Battle. Everyone was excited. Everyone was, you know, all giddy. But now Chris Hero's just kind of faded in the background. And, again, there's a guy who, you know, a lot of people have questioned his motivation, have questioned his ability to change who he is or do something different. I kind of have the same kind of feelings about Samoa Joe. And we'll move on. He is not fighting Rusev. No, you know who's fighting Rusev? The real American hero, John Cena. And that is part of the Fastlane card that we will now preview. First question, I guess, off the top. What's the main event? Is it Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, or is it the big Rusev and John Cena for that all-important U.S. title?
I think it'll either be Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan or the Triple H Sting confrontation.
Oh, that won't be the final thing. The Sting and Triple H? No, they'd never end on a talking segment. But, yeah, I think it's going to be Roman and Daniel Bryan. I think it has to be.
Yeah. I think they've been doing a great job with the build for that match. And I obviously you guys can see my Raw articles on the website. I've been nailing the stuff they've been doing as far as like taking the right step with the direction with their storylines. Everything that everybody's doing on the show, I think it's the best for everybody. I mean, maybe storylines haven't been the greatest in the world, but there should be potential for a lot of good matches Sunday.
Yeah, it's a show that is fraught with problems. I mean, it used to be the Elimination Chamber, and that was obviously a show that just didn't make sense in the slot between the Rumble, mm-hmm. between WrestleMania, the potential of getting top guys hurt by putting them in that Elimination Chamber. I never liked that there. I hope the Elimination Chamber comes back just in a different spot. I like the gimmick. I like the match, but not in February, not before your biggest show of the year. It doesn't make sense. This Fastlane thing, it's interesting. I think they've done as well as they could in building a card that's somewhat interesting for it. Although, what they've done, I question on a lot of levels. I don't know why we're getting Rusev and John Cena now. Once they announced the network was free, I understood. That's probably the reason. But that said, I still would have saved this match for WrestleMania. I don't understand why you're getting it now. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan thing, I think all it has accomplished is made a few people like me go, yeah, you know what? I'm done with the whole yes thing. Like, what did Roman Reigns do so wrong? Like, why not let the guy just have his moment and go to WrestleMania? That's where I'm at with this. I'm just kind of tired of it. I'm just like, you know, like, it seems like at every turn, Daniel Bryan is always there. And I think, ultimately, this could end up being Daniel Bryan turned into a heel if they did it right.
Yeah, and I've had it up to here. I'm a Daniel Bryan fan, don't get me wrong. It's just the hypocrisy with a lot of fans today. It's like they say WWE doesn't stick to long-term plans. they have something for Roman Reigns. If it's not their guy they like, they whine and moan about it. And then people say if they put Daniel Bryan in the match or make it a triple threat, oh, WWE's caving in to the fans. So it's like they can't do anything right. So I had it up to here with the whole Reigns-Daniel Bryan debate. I don't know how you could be a bad wrestler when you come from the Anna Wyatt family. I mean, you had Rosie. He was okay. Umaga, he was good. They're acting like Roman Reigns is like the Great Khali or John Cena. I don't see any comparisons to John Cena.
I do. I mean, he's got like kind of like the typical four or five move set, kind of like John.
Steve Austin had four or five moves.
No, I understand that, but I get the comparison. But the better comparison would be more like Kevin Nash, I think, where you have just like the three or four moves, and one of them was a hair flip. Roman Reigns does not have the hair flip down yet. But that said, I agree with you in the sense of this overly criticalness about his work rate and all this. I mean, he's a big guy. Big guys, they're not held to the same standard as wrestlers that are half their size, or they shouldn't be. I mean, let's face it, Daniel Bryan can do a lot of things that Roman Reigns probably can't. And I'm not as down on Roman Reigns' work as a lot of people seem to be. I think the biggest knock I have on Roman Reigns, and we will get this shown to us one way or the other in this match with Daniel Bryan, his cardio sucks. And if he has to wrestle a long match with Daniel Bryan, we will see if his cardio is up to snuff, because that's one of the things. If he gets gassed out there with Brock Lesnar, he's done. Like, that crowd will turn on him so fast.
Yeah, it's interesting because Roman was a really highly touted college football player, so it's kind of weird how he has conditioning for that, but wrestling is kind of different.
Well, conditioning for all kinds of different sports is very different from one thing to the other. I mean, football, it's an explosion sport. It's like five. And you know what? It's funny. When you look at how he works like a football player. Because he has these explosions of activity where he just runs over like three or four guys at once. He does that spear, and then he'll do a Superman punch, and he'll do like three or four big things within the span of like less than 30 seconds. That is football. That's what a defensive lineman does. He attacks the quarterback. He gets through an offensive lineman. He goes to try and hit the quarterback. It's all very quick in that. And it's funny you bring up his football background, because his wrestling kind of reminds me of football. Now, that said, Dwayne The Rock Johnson never reminded me of a football player and had the same kind of pedigree and background as Roman Reigns. And obviously Dwayne was a tremendous talker, and that's the other thing that people get on Roman. He's not the greatest on the microphone, and not only that, he's got to learn that if you're going to be put in this position, that gives you a little bit of power to say no. And some of the stuff they've given him has been just frankly unacceptable as far as promos go, and he should do what CM Punk has done in the past, what Stone Cold Steve Austin has done in the past, take that thing, crumple it up into a ball, and throw it in the garbage, and say, bring me something else.
Or, I'm surprised, obviously everybody knows that the wrestling business is just filled with a lot of egos. I'm just surprised that a lot of these guys don't sit down with the writers and try to do more stuff instead of just like, oh, hey guys, here. Or it's kind of like a vice versa thing where the writers don't try to have a relationship with the wrestlers and try to figure it out together. It's always like, oh, here's your thing. Oh, forget that.
Yeah, but it all has to go through one 69-year-old man who does not like millennials, does not like Swiss people, and, you know,
I might have a chance.
And he's jacked, by the way. He's jacked. as well. On the cover of Muscle and Fitness, with one hell of a Photoshop, one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. We didn't touch on that in the news items, but wow. If Vince really expects us to believe he looks like that at 69, he really thinks we're dumb, Josh.
It's WrestleMania 22 all over again.
Yeah, he's Muscle and Fitness every couple millennials. We have to... Oh, no, not millennials. That would be wrong. Every couple years.
I would be a millennial.
You are a millennial, and you're not going to be on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, Josh. No offense. But it's not happening. It's not happening for me either, so don't worry about it. But anyway, kind of got sidetracked. But yeah, I think Roman has to stand up for himself and kind of... I think we're seeing that a little bit more with his promos. I've liked his promos in this kind of baby face, but doesn't like Daniel Bryan. That's what the mode he's in right now. And I've kind of liked it. And as we talked about Kevin Steen and the truth in what Kevin's been saying in NXT, I think the same's been true with Roman Reigns. What he said to Daniel Bryan was 100% correct. He said... You know what? You got eliminated from the Royal Rumble. Take it like a man. I would have. And I think that's where a lot of people that, you know, are on Roman's side go, yeah, you know what? He has a point. Like, Roman wasn't to blame for that. Neither is Daniel. But the fact that, like, you know, I don't know. This whole build to this match has made me feel that I think I like Roman a little more, but I don't like Daniel Bryan as much. And some people have said that's the goal. That's what WWE was out to do. If that it was the goal, they've succeeded. At least with me.
Oh, I always thought Daniel Bryan had that kind of like a whiny, I'm kind of self-entitled, even though I'm a humble guy, this or that persona to him. So I thought what you said perfectly, stop whining about it. He's like, he took it like a man when he lost to Batista last year in a Rumble match. So, it's interesting, but I think the match will be good, and I think what we saw last Monday with the Brawl is probably the best that you'll get out of Roman Reigns in the ring and also on the promo.
And what do you think for the outcome of this one? Because there's been lots of speculation of how this one ends up going. A lot of people think we end up with a finish where both guys win, in a sense, and go on to WrestleMania. I'm not on that train. I don't think we get another three-way. I think we get a definitive winner, and I think it's Roman Reigns. How about you?
Yeah, same here. I think Daniel Bryan will try to do like a top rope move or whatever, and then Roman Reigns will spear him to pick up the victory.
Well, there you go.
I don't think there's going to be any outside shenanigans. If anything, after the match, if Bryan kind of gets pissed off at him and walks away or shakes his hand, whatever that kind of deal is, then that'll happen. But I think Roman Reigns will win definitely at Fastlane.
Oh, no. After what happened with The Rock, no one should be raising his hand. That won't work, apparently. That doesn't work with this guy. In fact, that never works. Like, unless the fans are behind it, that never works. Like, it's just... It seems like the cliche thing to do. And I just got through watching Hogan Rock, that match in Toronto. It worked there because fans legitimately liked both guys. But if they legitimately aren't sold on one or the other, it's never going to work. So don't bother with the hand-raising thing, Josh. That won't work. Anyway, we've already started this card out of order. So do you want to start at the bottom and work our way back up to Cena Rusev, or do you want to just keep tumbling down the card?
We could go for the bottom to Cena and Rusev.
Okay, so what would be the bottom? There's a lot of bottom on this card. I don't know. You tell me, Josh. What would be the opener for this shindig?
I'll go with Dean Ambrose against Bad News Barrett for the IC Championship.
So Dean is just the curtain jerker. Wow, who's getting the best out of this whole Shield thing? It clearly isn't Dean, I guess. But actually, this is a program I like. I know not a lot of people like it, and I understand why, because Dean's motivation to win this title is totally absurd. Let's face it, he wants to have his picture on the wall at WWE headquarters. Makes no sense. But I hope there is a longer term vision with this. I have mentioned this on the podcast before. I think Dean Ambrose is the guy to save the Intercontinental title. And We will see if that is the direction they go with this. I would be, and his fans might not be happy with this, people might not be happy with this, I would be thrilled if we are talking about Dean Ambrose still as your Intercontinental champion without having lost it a year from now. I think that would be the best thing in the world for this title, and it could be a great thing for Dean as well.
And I think you got the perfect opponent right now with Bad News Barrett. I think those two can have a really good match. I think it's the best thing for both guys right now is they're on the road to WrestleMania. If they don't want to extend this thing further to WrestleMania, maybe both guys are in the Battle Royal. But I got Bad News Barrett retaining. I think he finds some heelish way to retain the title.
I'm going with Ambrose getting the win, and we'll do some kind of rematch at the WrestleMania. I think that's the direction we go.
Let's go to the next one. Nikki Bella against Paige.
The damn Bella twins. I mean, they're spray tanning people. What the heck is going on with these two? For the love of God, if Paige doesn't win this match, I think I'll just cry for the Divas division. Because it needs to be saved. The Bellas are ruining the Divas division. They have just trashed it. And it's only taken them, what, 3 or 4 months? I mean, they've just laid waste to it. They've ran AJ off. Well, a lot of things have run AJ off. And, you know, this feud with Paige, I haven't dug it. I thought it was really... It's not putting Paige in a good light, and the Bellas are just annoying. So for the love of God, Paige win. That's the end of my rant. Go on, Josh.
We always heard about politics and the male side of wrestling. I think we might have something coming out in the next years about diva politicking.
Have you not been watching Total Divas this year? Nikki Bella is so concerned about the Bella brand that she does not want her sister to have a child with Daniel Bryan, and went to the point of actually telling both of them this in a public place at dinner on Total Divas. Like, this woman is insane. Hanging out with John Cena has made this woman insane. She actually thinks that she is as big, she is the female John Cena. I think that's what she thinks. And she is dead wrong.
Oh, like the one episode I saw, she was like, oh, talking to Mark Brown. She's like, well, I'm getting my Divas Championship soon. I'm like, what the hell? And we all know this show's taped in advance, so it's crazy.
Spoiler alert, Nikki Bella is spoiling the Divas title match.
I'm going to go with Paige. I think it's going to be something where, I don't think it's going to be like every Total Diva against each other at WrestleMania. I think it'd be something where it's like Paige, Nikki Bella, and if AJ's healthy, I think she'll be added in that match as well.
AJ's not going to be there. If AJ was going to be there, it would be for my dream match, which isn't going to happen, Josh. My dream match was AJ Lee versus Stephanie McMahon. It's not happening. I don't think AJ comes back to this company. With all this going on with her husband, lawsuits, all of this, I don't think she's going to come back. But that remains to be seen, I suppose. But as far as the people who are around, yeah, I agree. I think Paige wins this match. I think this, too, this is, in part, WrestleMania always has a huge British fan element that comes out for WrestleMania. This is their champion. This is their thing. They're going to get Paige as a champion, and she's going to be in a match on the WrestleMania card. That's what I think is going to happen. Because I think British people care a lot more about Paige than they do about Wade Barrett. Although, I've got Wade Barrett on the card too, but I don't have him winning at WrestleMania. So
let's go to the next one here. It was announced last night. We got Goldust against Stardust.
I don't care, but if I have to pick, I'll pick Stardust. But this is a feud that I would have cared about like a year and a half ago, but they've just dragged this out so long, and I think the unfortunate thing is you have this great, and I hate mentioning the word great with something attached to The Miz, but you do have this great angle going with The Miz and Mizdow. And this is way too similar to that. So nobody cares about this. Because everyone wants to see Mizdow kick Miz's face down his throat, which I am in full favor of. And thus, no one cares about Cody slapping around his old brother.
I think this could be like a no contest type thing. Like, it's like Stardust walks away. Let's say like Goldust gets the advantage of him or whatever during the match, and then he walks away. I don't think we're going to have a decisive winner, a fish, in this match. It is what it is. I kind of did like what they did on Raw this past Monday night. I kind of wish Dusty Rhodes was in ringside. Maybe he will be at Fastlane. It remains to be seen, but I'm going to go with the no contest in that one.
All right. That's the Dusty finish for a match with Dusty's kids. Oh, my gosh. You realize what you just did there. That was tremendous. Just for that alone, I like it. Just for that alone.
Let's go Seth Rollins, Big Show, and Kane against the Fired guys. Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, and Eric Rowan.
First of all, I'm sad for J&J Security, because originally I thought they were getting this match, but apparently not. J&J Security. Clearly, those photos got out on the internet, and they're getting punished. Not Seth Rollins. J&J Security, they are to blame for all that happened with Seth Rollins' crazy fiance and the whole nine yards. So, clearly, they didn't get their big match at Fastlane, which is sad. For the love of God, please don't have Kane and Big Show win a match. It does no one any good. I know Seth Rollins, on the other hand, is your big heel star. But just on principle, I'm sick and tired of watching Kane and Big Show win matches in 2015. So even though I'm not particularly fond of any of the other people on the other side, because I think they are just the jobber squad. They could be, remember Al Snow had the job squad? That's what those three could be.
Come on.
They literally could be.
You cannot have a former world champion.
That's how they've been treated. They've been treated like the job squad, Josh, but I will pick the job squad because even every once in a while, Al Snow and the job squad would pull out a win. So, Dolph Ziggler, this is your big moment because you're not going to get one at WrestleMania. So, here it is. Win at Fastlane. Congratulations.
I got a ring belt. There's always like one part of the show where it gets everybody mad or this and that. But I think we got a nice solution with this. Hear me out. I think the Authority wins, and then they start attacking all the guys. You have J&J in there beating up Ziggler, Ryback, and Rowan. And then here comes Orton. Randy Orton comes back and causes all hell.
Well, Randy Orton definitely will be involved in this match because that is your Mania match. Rollins and Randy Orton is happening. So, yeah, Randy Orton gets involved in the finish of this match. And then I take it back. Dolph isn't going to get his shine now. Dolph, just like at Survivor Series, is going to need help. He needed help from Sting. Now he's going to need help from Randy Orton. What can you do? Dolph Ziggler, you know what? Quit. Go to ROH. They'll treat you right there. You may not make as much money, but damn, you'll be a star.
Ah, man, Dolph Ziggler against Adam Cole.
Great match. Cool. Book it in NXT. Let's do it.
Let's go to the next one. I do want to talk about the Sting Triple H confrontation soon.
They will confront each other, Josh, and guess what? There will be a match at WrestleMania. That's what's going to happen. Spoiler alert.
Tyson Kidd and Cesaro gets the Usos.
Ah, boy, oh boy. I'd love to say Tyson and Cesaro and believe that and think it would happen, but I don't believe that, and I don't think it will happen. The Usos will probably retain, and that's sad because I think Tyson Kidd and Cesaro have been fantastic.
You know, what's really cool about this pay-per-view is that maybe the storylines aren't great, but especially when you have a match like this, I think they will have time with it. So we could see a really good match between these guys. It kind of reminds me of the Uso-Wyatt family matches earlier last year. I'm going to go with the Usos as well. Nothing against Kidd and Cesaro, but I don't know if we wanted to have them win the titles at Fastlane.
Well, yeah, but...
Would you want to take the titles off the Usos at WrestleMania?
They're not going to do that, though. I just don't think... Sad to say for the Usos, but I mean, if they're in a match at WrestleMania, it's like a pre-show match, isn't it? I don't see them making the card, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think they're stuck in a battle royal, or it's not like the old days, and that's the sad thing. When you look at WrestleMania, the old WrestleManias, it used to be, there were three big matches, and they were all the title matches. You had your world title match, your intercontinental title match, your tag team match. It was simple. Those were three of the biggest matches on the card. And now, you might not get an Intercontinental title match. You might not get a tag team title match. And that's why I say, going back to the whole Ambrose thing, if they could help have him revitalize that title and build to a big Intercontinental title match at Cowboy Stadium for Dean Ambrose versus, I don't know at this point, but whoever that would be, that would be a tremendous thing for that belt. It would be a tremendous thing for Dean. And, I mean, the tag team belts are kind of in the same boat. I mean, you know, I think the ROH tag team titles mean more than the WWE tag team titles. I think the New Japan tag team titles mean more than the WWE tag team titles right now because they're treated like they mean something. They aren't in WWE.
I kind of dislike the WrestleManias where there was more than just eight matches. I don't know why it just has to be eight matches now. It's a four-hour show. I mean, you could cram in a couple of
things. Well, I'll tell you why.
You know, there's not any musical guests this year, so why not add some more matches?
Not advertised, but, you know, P. Diddy could just jump out of the crowd. Maybe you know, whoever. Maybe John Cena will want to rap for us on the way to the ring. You don't know.
Yeah, Kanye's going to come out too.
Maybe Brodus Clay will be rehired and he will come out with all his mamas and dance again.
Alright. Let's go to the Triple H Sting thing.
Like I said, Sting will confront Triple H. There will be a match made at WrestleMania between Sting and Triple H. I guarantee this 100% will happen.
I think it'll be a contract due to the fact that Triple H is going to find out why he's here, who brought him here. A lot of people have rumored about this angle. I think Vince comes out and it's Vince against Triple H at WrestleMania.
I can't.
Sting representing Vince.
I can't see Vince embracing the face of WCW. That just is too odd for words.
But it's a complete irony with the fact that he told him and Stephanie to get things right, and they have it. So you have Sting here. I think it's perfect, actually.
No, if you were going to bring someone in, I would just bring someone in like connected to WCW. Hell! What if Ric Flair was behind it? There's a great idea. And Ric Flair is fighting for power and control of the company. Fantastic.
We got the consortium again.
Yeah, exactly. How fun was it when Vince and Flair were fighting for the company? It was tremendous. Give Ric something to do.
Yeah, that was a good idea, James. I like that.
No, but I would. My point being, if it's going to be someone behind Sting, which I don't necessarily think it needs to be, but if it is, it has to be someone with a connection to WCW.
It's going to be interesting, though. I think it's going to be really cool to see him at least talk and also be around the environment. So I'm really looking forward to that segment. But last thing before we go, James, John Cena and Rusev.
Oh, yes, the Cena-Rusev conflict. I don't know what the heck they do here. I really don't, because assumedly they're going at it again at WrestleMania. I can't see John Cena losing to Rusev. That just America with John Cena attached to it, that isn't losing. So some kind of a Dusty Rhodes finish like you had for the Dust Brothers. Some kind of Dusty finish is coming here. I don't know what it'll be. But in the end, we're going to get a rematch at WrestleMania. And Rusev will face John Cena there and try and get his revenge. Or, I guess the simple way to do it would be, this is for the U.S. title, and they've made a big deal about that. Rusev could get counted out, and he loses, mm-hmm. but he keeps his title, and John wins the match, and Rusev doesn't get pinned. Everybody wins, and that's a Dusty finish there. So, I'll go with that.
I'm going to go with John Cena by disqualification. I think as Cena tries to give him the AA, I think Rusev kicks him in the nuts, and then he puts him in the accolade to pass him out after the match is over.
You know what could be interesting? That is, you could go the opposite route with that as well. You could have John Cena get disqualified because John made... No, hear me out. Because John made this big point in his promo about how he couldn't be smiley, happy John Cena. Well, maybe he takes that too far and he gets disqualified and he loses.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. We'll see. But anyway, that is your Fastlane card. If you choose, unless you own the WWE Network already, you're not paying for this. It's absolutely free, so go seek it out. Here in Canada, if you're a Rogers or Eastlink subscriber, and I think they just added a couple more, but whoever, if you get the WWE Network, all you literally have to do is turn it on. I could do it right now, Josh. I haven't had to sign up, nothing. Just hit 888 on my controller, WWE Network. Simple as that. So wherever your cable company is in Canada, you just find out what number the WWE Network is, punch it in, and you got Fastlane.
I think it's going to be a pretty cool show. We got WrestleMania coming up soon. They got to hit a home run with this. At least have something interesting come out of this pay-per-view. And this WrestleMania journey is coming by really quick, so I'm looking forward to see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, it's been a slow and meandering road to WrestleMania this year. And lastly, before we go, the rumors are out there. Grandpa Taker may be coming. He might be at Raw this Monday, Josh. I don't know if I've wrecked your preview, but the word is on the street. And I came up with a joke on Twitter. Bray Wyatt is luring Grandpa Undertaker to Raw by promising a free early bird special at catering. I think that's how it all goes down. It all goes down in WWE catering.
We'll see. I have an interesting scenario if it's not the Undertaker, but you'll find out on Monday.
All right. Well, look forward to that from Josh on condoonthemoon.com. We thank Josh for filling in today. Where's Walder? We think Ottawa. We think he'll be back next week. And he better be back next week, actually, because it will actually be a year of us doing this podcast. And we will have a couple guests from ROH along for the ride as they get ready for their March 1st show, which will be right around the corner. And we'll have all our thoughts on Fastlane, assuming that Walder even watches it. I don't know what he's doing this weekend. But I'm sure he will have watched it by the next time we do this podcast. So with that said, you know, we can all play Where's Waldo? Just spin Where's Walder? Just spin the globe and point, and maybe he'll be there. So thanks to Josh for filling in, and that is all for us. And thanks to the folks for Ring of Honor for hooking us up with Michael Bennett. We appreciate it, and it's great to have Michael on. And we hope to have him on again sooner than the last time, because he hadn't been on for a while, so it was great to have him back. All that said, take care, and enjoy your free Fastlane. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when you live it out of dream.
you know me.
Suffer. The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better. More questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.